This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
Hello and welcome to the Rashmar Khanasi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot, and I mean a lot, to get into here on a Thursday. Let's not waste any time. Let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune a big crew. We got Brandon Deutsch, Grant Mona, Jake Dicker, G. Hay Wiley. Big, big news. I mean, this was a 3:49 a.m. Woj bomb. So depending on where you were, you basically woke up to the news that forget about everything you knew when you went to bed about J.J. Redick being the next head coach of the Lakers, them targeting J.J. You woke up to the news that the Lakers have targeted and are going to put a full court press on UConn head coach Dan Hurley to be the next head coach of the team. They are preparing a massive long-term contract offer for the back-to-back national championship head coach. I mean, I could basically ask you all, and I'm going to get your all's opinion. Here's my two cents before I bring in the group here. This is a massive, massive upgrade over the potential hiring of J.J. Redick. Why? Listen, you are the Los Angeles Lakers. You do have aspirations to win a championship. This is not a learn-on-the-job situation. I'm not saying that JJ can't be a great head coach. I always hated the Pat Riley comparisons. Why? Because Pat Riley went from broadcaster to assistant head coach to associate head coach and then became a head coach. He did not go from the broadcast booth to becoming the head coach of a team that, listen, when you look at that team on paper, should be a contending team. They bring in a coach that already has a track record of success no matter where he's gone. And LeBron, at least on social media, take that for what it's worth, is very high on him. When he was talking about JJ's podcast, he said he's so damn good, along with his staff, super creative, complimenting him. And again, there, you know, when you go back to how long he's known Dan Hurley and the family, you go back to his days playing in high school. So let me start with Brandon, because we've been talking about JJ. Again, we got to the point where we were talking about what his coaching staff would look like. I mean, this was a done deal. Brandon, your thoughts when you woke up to the news that Dan Hurley, unless things go awry during this negotiation, will likely be the next head coach of the Lakers?
Well, hey, I hope you're right. Will likely be. I still think he declines the job, but I hope they give him enough money where he accepts it, because that'd be a home run hire for the Lakers. And I love that, you know, take it for what you will. Like you said, LeBron said that they need to focus on developing the future too. And Hurley's a guy at every level has turned a dominant program. You know, everything he's turned into has become dominant in time. Great at player development, great offensive scheme, defensive scheme. I mean, he's got it all. I mean, this would shake up the basketball world. There's a reason why people are talking about it instead of the NBA finals today, because it would be literally put the Lakers back, you know, into prominence, and maybe not right away, but definitely something long-term that is a risk, but has high reward. JJ Redick is another 2-year hire. I like JJ a lot. I think he's a great basketball mind. But he is not, you know, he doesn't have the basketball acumen as a coach that Dan Hurley has, right? And yes, a lot of coaches haven't translated their college success to the NBA level. People, I think an example is, you know, obviously Billy Donovan most recently, but it's not really his fault that the Bulls are a terribly run organization. I know Armand's not here. His team is catching strays. But, you know, again, excellent program at Florida. Came to the NBA, won a coach of the year, actually, I believe, but, you know, built that Thunder program. They're like, we want to lose, get out of here, send them to Chicago, basically. You know, got their picks, got Chet Holmgren, whatever. But Hurley would be an excellent hire, and I think really prioritizes the long-term growth of the Lakers. And I think LeBron also wants him because he can develop Bronny, too, if they get him in the second round, hopefully not the 17th overall pick. I would love a 10-year, you know, whatever, $120 million deal for him or whatever it may be. Like, UConn, remember, can't pay him that much. I mean, otherwise it would be state taxes. And I don't think maybe people are fine with UConn raising it, saying, oh, we'll match the Lakers offer. And it comes out of people's pockets that live in Connecticut. But a lot of people would be very, very furious because the school isn't making revenue comparatively to other schools that have dominant football program. So we have to take that into consideration too. And Hurley always likes challenges. I mean, the Lakers have been a kind of a circus the last few years. And, you know, I really hope they get back to national, you know, prominence and dominance. And Hurley would be the guy to do so. I think Redick kind of just is another, I wouldn't say Darvin Ham. He's obviously smarter than Darvin Ham. He actually knows basketball. But Redick's a huge risk with not as high as a reward as Hurley.
Yeah, and you know, I think the biggest difference is, and a lot of people are going to make the comparison, and we'll bring in Jihei with this part of the conversation. You know, 20 years ago, the Lakers went after Coach K to be their the next head coach, really giving him a massive contract at the time. Coach K even talked about how he was very close to accepting that deal. Kobe, if you remember, was with the Lakers at that time. They had experience at Team USA. Kobe has often said that if he went to college, he would have gone to play for Coach K, would have gone to Duke. At the end of the day, Coach K did decide to come back to Duke. I think it's different now in this current landscape of college, where immediately as soon as the season is over, it is your entire roster is free to leave. There's never been a time period like this in all of college sports, not just college hoops, of course, right? That goes to football. And in terms of, you know, now schools can pay players. Now, again, this is such a big part of recruiting now, and the transfer portal is like, it's not so much like, what is my position going to be and will I play? It's like, how much are you going to pay me? And at the end of the day, UConn, as great as they have been historically, they're not in the position to, pay their coach the same as the Los Angeles Lakers, but maybe like even pay players. And again, that was such a taboo comment for years. It's the future. It's the current and the future of college sports. Jihei, you brought up the example to me, and I thought of it too with Coach K. I just think college sports are in a different place than they were. And it is a grind. And if he's not burnt out by it now, he will be. It is just a lot. It's not as much of a grind. You're not recruiting. You're not, and again, it's a yearly recruiting thing where it doesn't matter if you put together a championship team. Each and every one of your players could leave your program, and you have to do the churn year after year. It is such a grind, GK. So again, I think this is a little bit different than Coach K. And I think if Dan Hurley is smart, he sees that and he leaves.
See, here's the thing. I agree with you. It is a grind, and it is definitely different than, you know, with NIL and having to recruit these kids year after year, having to not only recruit, you know, new kids, but you got to recruit your kids to stay, yeah. Right? But he just got Caravan back.
Yeah.
Who is a stud, by the way. I can't believe that he's not going to the NBA and trying to shoot a shot there, but he's getting Caravan back. He's getting a bunch of other recruits as well that I think are going to, he has a top tier class coming in for UConn. That being said, I get the NIL grind. I get, you know, having to bring in money so that these kids can get some compensation for their name, image, and likeness. I'm so torn on this because he had such an amazing impact in Connecticut in such a short period of time. I know that everybody thinks that, like, oh my gosh, he's been there forever, but Coach K was there forever.
Yeah.
Right? Coach K was there for at least 15 years before the Lakers were like, hey, can you please come and help us out or come and be our coach?
Yeah.
I think that Hurley's only been there for like, what, less than 10 years?
It's not the same. There's not a Shuskyville for Hurley.
Yeah, exactly. There's no Hurleyville in Connecticut right now, in Storrs, Connecticut. So, but I don't think that that's who you're really going to have to convince. I think you're actually going to have to convince his wife because that woman didn't want to leave Rhode Island, let alone to go to Connecticut, let alone maybe Connecticut to LA. So you might have to convince her.
So I was in Phoenix. And again, it's unique that I've covered UConn's last two Final Four appearances. And following the most recent one, that was the final question of the press conference, mainly because the Kentucky job was available. And he kind of laughed at it. But again, that's college to college. I do not see him leaving one college for another college. The NBA game is different. And he has talked about at some point in his career, he would like the challenge of coaching in the league. And he's even said, like, the way that college hoops is now, it's effectively like the G League. So if that's the case, why not go? And again, it is the signature franchise in professional basketball. If he doesn't take it now, again, you can make the joke about, well, it might be available in 2 years. Jake, I want to bring you in. The problem historically, when I say historically, since Phil Jackson has left, this coaching job has been a revolving door. I think with this hire, if it is a, let's just say that we don't know the numbers yet, you know, let's just say it's a 10-year, 100-something million, like a massive deal. You're basically planting your flag and saying, regardless of how next season goes, like, this isn't a coach that we're going to fire if he makes it to the postseason in back-to-back years. Like, this is our long-term guy. Your thoughts on the Lakers saying, hey, listen, this is our coach, and at the very least for the next 5 to 6 years, like, this is our guy.
Yeah, I mean, I want to start by saying that I think at some point very soon, J.J. Redick is going to be a very good NBA head coach. I think that that is inevitable at some point. That being said, it does kind of leave the revolving door open if you bring J.J. Redick in at this point. And if you pay Dan Hurley what it's going to take to pull him from UConn, you can't really get out of that even if you want to, right? You're kind of stuck with him for the next 5 years. And hopefully it's more of a, we have Danny Hurley, not a we're stuck with Danny Hurley. Yeah. That being said, I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense. I love him because he's everything that Darvin Ham isn't. I think Dan Hurley would be the first person to tell you that he's 50% psychopath, which is exactly what I think that this organization needs right now. They need someone who's going to come in with a strong voice and is not afraid to use that voice. And I mean, like you said, Arash, it's not like he's being pulled by the Charlotte Hornets or the Houston Rockets whose roster is in shambles. He's being handed, I mean, the marquee organization in the league, and LeBron James, hopefully, and Anthony Davis. So I think it makes a ton of sense for everybody involved. I do think the Connecticut to LA move is a little bit easier to convince on his wife than the Rhode Island to Connecticut move. I think the sunny LA house in Manhattan Beach will be funny. But I do really like this. UConn has been the marquee program for the last 2 years solely because Dan Hurley is far and away the best X's and O's guy in college basketball, and his player development skills are off the charts. And I've been saying on this show that the Lakers need to start preparing for the post-LeBron era, and that includes developing your young players. That's probably at the top of the list, and he may be the best guy, you know, on the planet that's able to do that. So I love this idea.
You know, we could have a situation where the reigning national champion football coach, and Jim Harbaugh, obviously he's already with the Chargers, and the reigning national champion back-to-back men's basketball coach, and Dan Hurley, could be here too. Grant, the first thing I thought of was what Jake joked about, but it's really true. I mean, you're going from a guy who Lakers fans nicknamed Pockets because he has his hands in his pockets in the clutch moments and never used a challenge where it's like, you know, bro, we're in the playoffs. What are we doing here? I mean, you have a psychopath. And I thought this covering UConn these last two Final Fours where they would be up by 20 points and the guy's losing his mind on a missed screen or something along those lines. Listen, he's going to have to temper that somewhat. You know, you can't do that in the NBA. But your thoughts on Dan Hurley, and I think this team needs a coach like that. They need a fiery head coach.
There's two things. First of all, Jake, the Rockets just caught a stray that they did not deserve by you. They are a very good, talented young team. I know what you're going for there, but the Rockets caught a stray. Second of all, it is so funny, guys, to see the reversal of opinions on J.J. Redick now. Like Brandon just mentioned, he's like, well, he just wasn't cut out for it. Right? But like just a week ago, we're like, oh, this is a home run hire. This guy's the best. Like he's going to fit in so well. It's like all these Laker fans are just like, well, actually, in theory, the J.J. Redick thing wasn't really that great. So it's like, wait a minute. Just last week, you were saying like, oh, I'm so excited for J.J. That's so funny. Third of all, this would be such a fantastic hire for the reasons that everybody really mentioned, that this guy is basically a psychopath of a head coach. The Lakers need a strong voice, a guy that doesn't care about what Clutch Sports is saying, that doesn't care about what the agents are saying. He is going to put in a program and put in an offense and put in a system that will work. And he doesn't care what anyone else tells him it is or anyone else says it is. And that's why UConn is back-to-back champions, is because he is very strict with his X's and O's. He is a very intense coach, which I feel like would be a great change for a Lakers organization that hasn't really had that type of coach in a very long time. Yeah. So if you're going to try to go for like a Pat Riley hard-nosed style type of program, I say it's an organization, I think Dan Hurley's a better option than J.J. Redick. I don't know why there are comparisons to Pat Riley from J.J. I guess the looks and the announcer to head coach pipeline. But if you want that type of style, there's a reason why Heat culture is a thing. It's because of Pat Riley, right? And his hard-nosed style. Dan Hurley's that type of head coach. So I think this would be a fantastic hire. Now, there are conflicting reports, like Brandon mentioned and Jake mentioned, that you know, it's not a foregone conclusion that he will accept this deal. Obviously, Jihei mentioned that his wife is very picky about where she wants to go as well. But I mean, the fact that Gino Auriemma said that he met with Dan Hurley last night and that he said, hey, you could lead the Lakers to a bunch of championships. And Dan Hurley just nodded his head like, yeah, I can. Yeah. Look, the money talks. It'll probably sway him over. I think that they should get it done. I'm actually happy that the Lakers are pursuing a actual, like, very good head coach for a lot of money. Like, usually they don't spend that much on head coaches, which is why Ty Lue went to the Clippers. Yeah. I'm glad they're doing it. Like, go for it. Go all in right now.
Everything has to be all in with the Lakers at this point. I think I'm not opposed to the situation that I've read, which is kind of the direction they're going in. Mitchell's not being traded to the Lakers. Gilbert will never help LeBron out. He hates him. We all know that. And is Trae Young really going to win you a championship? So I do think they're not going to trade for Trae Young. They're not going to make any move. Kyrie's staying with Dallas after this season. Everyone knows it. He's probably going to sign an extension. So I think at this point, they're keeping Rui Hachimura. They're keeping Austin Reeves. They're keeping everybody. They might even re-sign Russell. I don't know. Like, maybe they find a replacement for him. They might at this point, Grant. I know you sound crazy, but like, and I think that's why they're going in this direction with Hurley. And you know, Rui Hachimura came up, he said a great point when the Lakers got eliminated. He said, look at these teams that compete every year. They've had the same roster for a few years. I know the Mavericks, they made some changes, but Boston, the Nuggets, like same core for like multiple years. Minnesota is starting to see that ascension. Oklahoma City. And I think he has a point. He said, we should keep this together. It's hard to win championships, and we will undoubtedly be back next year and competing. And I think Rui had a very tough series, and I think a guy like Hurley is instrumental for a guy like Rui in his development, because I think Rui can be a top 50 player in the NBA. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He has the talent to do so. Austin Reeves, he would be great for him, and of course, Bronny, if they do end up taking him in the second round, hopefully not the first round. I think they have to make moves like this. Like the Celtics, Brad Stevens is out there cooking the rest of the executives. He's dominating. You can. It's just getting to a situation where it's going to be like before Jerry bought the team, where the Celtics are just dominating, making all the right moves. No, Lakers are still the best organization in basketball. Like, let's prove it. Come on now.
You look great.
I just want to mention something that Brandon brought up that I wanted to mention. It is so petty by the Lakers to announce this the day of a Celtics Finals game one. Oh, that is just a dagger to Celtics fans and that organization. Now in the pregame show on ESPN and ABC, when we will be watching it, they'll be like, oh, let's bring in Wojnarowski to talk about the Lakers. And it's like the Celtics are warming up behind you. Like, how petty is that? I love that. As a generational hater myself, I love it. Chef's kiss.
By the way, Graham brought up a great point. Historically speaking, and you go back to, you know, Paul Westhead and Pat Riley, and again, like they brought in Pat because he was Chick Hearn's color commentator. I mean, they have not Phil Jackson. When they brought in Phil Jackson, that was the first time in perhaps franchise history that they've actually paid big money for a head coach. And this is really the first time since then. And Grant brought it up. Like they wanted Ty Lue. Ty Lue wanted to go there. They lowballed him. They lowballed him with a contract offer, and they lowballed him by basically saying, we'll bring you on with this deal, but we're also going to pick your assistant coaches, which was so disrespectful. And listen, at the end of the day, I think that they've learned from their ways. They've learned that they have to have some stability with this job. They have to bring in a guy who, when you talk about can college to the NBA works, Brandon mentioned it, Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens is a guy, as a coach, I mean, clearly successful, but as a GM, a fantastic GM. And so when we come back, I want to touch on that again, this is not a coach, whether it was Frank Vogel, whether it was Darvin Ham, even if it was going to be J.J. Redick, those were sort of short-term hires. When you swing for the fences like this, when you bring in a coach like Dan Hurley, this is a program franchise hire where, again, it's not just for a couple of years. It's not just for LeBron James. This is a guy who's going to be there long term. So I think this is a good moment. Again, it's not a done deal. We'll see what happens. But we're going to leave it there. When we come back, we'll dive into this a little bit more. Again, the surprise news, shocking news this morning that the Lakers have targeted Dan Hurley to be their next head coach. When we come back right here on the mightier 1090 of Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
Welcome back to the Rushmore Connolly Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090, ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. Again, we are talking about the big story that came down surprisingly Thursday before game one of the NBA Finals, that the Lakers have targeted UConn head coach Dan Hurley to be their next head coach. Here's the thing about this, crew, and I want to bring back in Brandon Deutsch, Jake Dicker, G.A. Wiley. I think Lakers fans had grown. They were getting used to the idea of J.J. Redick being the next head coach of the team. Again, as crazy as that may have sounded a couple of weeks ago,
you know, they got more and more comfortable with it. Again, there was reports about what kind of staff he was putting together. At this point, if you go from Dan Hurley, which is a bona fide home run hire, at least when you talk about, you know, his track record as a head coach, how he's thought of around the basketball community. If you go from an experienced head coach like Dan Hurley and basically talks, according to Woj, that, you know, that they've not only targeted him, he's their number one guy, full court press, all this stuff. If they don't get him at this point, and then they have to go back to a coach that has never coached before, Brandon, I want to start with you. I mean, your thoughts on that. Again, they've been pretty secretive about their coaching search. I mean, I think one of the more surprising aspects of the Woj report was that Dan Hurley has from day one been their number one target. Again, we have not heard Dan Hurley's name throughout these talks. In fact, Shams reporting yesterday was that JJ was very close to becoming the next head coach of the Lakers. If Hurley does not happen, if he, for whatever reason, decides to go back to UConn or things break down in negotiations and they got to go to JJ Redick's or someone else, your thoughts on how that would look like at this point?
Well, I think at this point, you have to get it done with Hurley. Whatever he wants, you give. At this point, you just have to, because it's out in the media and it looks bad if he doesn't accept it. And it's like, is the Lakers a good job anymore? Like, people have been questioning that over the past few years. And it's really important that he accepts this job. And by the way, JJ Redick, how do you know that if they miss out on Hurley, he's going to be like, I'm okay being second choice? Like, he doesn't seem like, I mean, he's an alpha. I don't think he seems like a guy that would be fine with being second fiddle. You know what I mean? Like, JJ is a very, he commands respect. He's charismatic. He's got it, right? Like, he doesn't want to be second fiddle to anybody. So I wouldn't be surprised if he just continues podcasting and then they go with Borrego. It's probably the guy they go with if Hurley doesn't work out at this point, which honestly wouldn't be bad. Great player development guy. I think if they're focused on player development, though, I mean, Kenny Atkinson's a name that they've had in the past that hasn't really been in these talks. That might be a guy they look at. Now, I think it's probably, it's between Hurley, Redick, and Borrego. I think we all know that at this point. I would have loved to see Michael Norrie or Adelman get a chance, but Adelman's now being, you know, keyed in on by other coaching searches, right? I think they have to get it done with Hurley. I mean, whatever he wants, you give him at this point. It's a risk, but it's a risk worth taking. I think you have to take those risks like the Celtics did when they were dead in the water after Pierce and Garnett, and they got Brad Stevens, and they, you know, they still had Danny Ainge, and they swung for the fences with all those trades and everything. And that's kind of how you have to operate, because look what it's done for the Celtics. They're perennial championship contenders. If they win this championship, I think it even furthers the belief that they have to get Hurley and start winning championships, because then the Celtics are ahead. And at the end of the day, the Lakers are the best organization in basketball, and they have to remain that at all costs. And you have to do whatever it takes.
Taking you guys back 20 years ago, as we mentioned in the previous segment, when the Lakers went after Coach K, that was a unique situation because Coach K was coming in to replace Phil Jackson, right? They go with Rudy Tomjanovich, who had won back-to-back championships with Houston. His health was not in a great place. He did not even last a full season. And who did they come back to replace Rudy Tomjanovich? They went back to Phil Jackson. So, you know, a different situation where college sports are different. It's pay for play. The transfer portals, players can leave after 1 year. The other thing is that Dan Hurley isn't coming in replacing Phil Jackson. He's coming in replacing Darvin Ham. So I think both from a who he's replacing standpoint, from a collegiate standpoint, from a standpoint that, listen, I mean, I don't think outside of Team USA we had ever heard that Coach K wanted to coach in the NBA. Dan Hurley was very open about when people said, would you ever leave UConn? He said, probably not for a college job, but maybe the NBA. But Jake, I mean, at this point, I just think the way Woj reported it, and it's important to note the history Woj has with the Hurley family. And again, he wrote the definitive book on Hurley's father, who is a Hall of Fame coach in high school, knows the family very well. I don't know if this story leaks out or gets out unless we're pretty well along the way in terms of Dan Hurley wanting the job.
I just think that the Lakers at this point would look really bad. And again, by the way, wouldn't be the first time. I mean, it was very public the way they screwed up the Ty Lue negotiations. At the end of the day, yes, they got Frank Vogel, but how they handled that was a total dumpster fire. And, very publicly lowballing Ty Lue and saying, we're going to pick your staff. How important at this point, given how this story is being talked about, that the Lakers close this deal and get Dan Hurley in?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I love that the Lakers, the 2 days leading up to the finals, have back-to-back, alerts from the two biggest reporters in the country with the biggest name on the market, maybe in J.J. Redick, and then the surprise out of nowhere slam dunk in Danny Hurley. Lakers can never just do anything calmly. It always is the Hollywood script. But, I think you're right in terms of the way that it's being reported. I think it's incredibly important they get it done now, because now how do you even pivot back to JJ if this doesn't work out? I know Brandon talked about a ton of other options that are out there that are good ones, but I think that you have to go out and get Hurley done. I think that even with the championship with Frank Vogel, the last 10 years of Laker basketball kind of just blend together as this decade of mediocrity and disappointment. And if you bring Dan Hurley in, I think that you can hit the reset. This is a new era of Laker basketball. But it's not necessarily, the free slam dunk that we all think it is. I mean, we've seen marquee, college guys who are great player development guys, next to no guys. I mean, Calipari bombed in the NBA, Rick Pitino bombed in the NBA. So, I mean, it's incredibly possible that this doesn't work out for the Lakers if this is the route they choose to go. But I do think with the options out there, it is their best option if they can make it happen, because this is something that I had never even considered, given how, tied it seemed Hurley was to UConn, which makes sense. I don't see him, jumping for another school, even in today's NIL, where he's scrambling year round for NIL funding at UConn. I mean, they still have the fourth best odds now to win the championship next year and three-peat behind Kansas, Duke, and I forget who else is in there. Alabama's in there as well. So he'd be leaving a marquee college program, but I think for the Lakers' job in the NBA, it's a challenge that he wants. I think it makes all the sense in the world, and the Lakers have the pockets to make it happen.
Jihee, no one knows college hoops amongst this group quite like you do, in terms of you follow recruiting, you follow the ins and out. Again, very familiar with the Hurley family. Your thoughts on leaving? Again, this is a historically great program having a historically great run. When UConn, again, first back-to-back championships since Florida, but the run that they had in terms of point differential, this UConn team was one of, if not the most dominant college basketball team that we've seen in a long, long time. How much harder does that make it to leave? Again, the problem is, this job in this moment is not going to be there a year from now. If you pass up an opportunity to coach the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James and whatnot, like, that job's not going to be there a year from now. How hard is it, do you think, for Dan Hurley to leave, again, a historically great program on the cusp of doing something that I don't think we've seen? I know we haven't seen since UCLA back when John Wooden was the coach.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, Dan Hurley comes from a phenomenal coaching tree, i.e. his father. So I don't think that just because I don't think that if the Lakers job goes away and he says no to it, that another coaching position is not going to be available in the near future for him in the NBA. I'm just personally not thinking that way for him, because if he does three-peat, and there is a chance that he could three-peat, I know that sounds crazy to everybody, but there is a chance that he could three-peat, considering the way that he has staffed up his organization, program, whatever you want to call it, from Connecticut. I mean, one of the greatest offensive minds on his staff is Bill Murray's son, and he has come into his own as a phenomenal offensive-minded coach, and that's the reason why some of those guys wanted to stay and vie for a title. So I think that he's just extremely smart in the way that he has the people surrounding him and helping him out in that. So I don't think that he's not going to be able to have another opportunity like this. But that being said, it behooves everybody's situation for him to kind of move on. I mean, he's kind of done what he's done at the highest level at this point for Connecticut. he the next level is to go to the NBA, right? And then the level after that, maybe go to the Olympics and be the coach for the Olympics. So I don't know. I think that this is a great decision if he does make it, but I don't think that it's going to go away. I think that he could three-peat with UConn, considering, again, I said in the last segment, he got Caravan back. And that's a great leadership role for this kid. Also, it's cheap for the Lakers to buy out his contract. It's only like $1.5 million of their money to be like, hey, come to us. So, but yeah, I think that doesn't mean that he's not going to get another chance.
Okay. I think it really comes down to what he wants. And I want to touch kind of on what Arash said and Jay, what you said as well. It's the Lakers' job is the pinnacle, right? If he wants to coach in the NBA, this is the opportunity. He can go and three-peat at UConn, and as great as that would be for historical purposes and his resume, it doesn't, he's where he wants. If he wants to jump to the NBA, the job is there. It's not like he needs to do more to get some better NBA job, and he's just going to the NBA for the sake of going to the NBA. I mean, this is, I know it's the Laker fan in me talking, but I think anyone who's an NBA fan will tell you the Lakers' job is, you know, 1-1.
Yeah. I was just going to add really quick before we move on that Dan Hurley seems like a guy that is obsessed with, you know, his own legacy, and a guy that wants to win at every level and prove he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. And I think he's at a point where if the Lakers job is available, such a storied franchise, kind of been a circus, like I've mentioned the last few years, if you can turn that team organization around and start winning championships like a Phil Jackson did, you go down in the record books as like, man, he won at every level. He's one of the greatest coaches ever. I think that appeals to him more than people think. I mean, it's still the Lakers at the end of the day. Yes, they've made bad decisions over the past few years. They're still the best organization in basketball. And they're still, by the way, the most popular brand in the NBA, in the world. By far, it's not even close. It's not even particularly close. So that should appeal to most people.
Oh, no doubt about that. Again, he is a coach, like you mentioned, that wants to establish himself, wants to win a championship. When Jim Harbaugh was talking about, would you go back to pro football? It's like, listen, my brother has won a Super Bowl. I've never won a Super Bowl. He went head to head with his brother in the Super Bowl. So when he was thinking about going back, I think a part of it was where college football was at, college sports was at, but also the opportunity to join a team and win a Super Bowl with the Chargers. And we'll see how that goes. Brendan, I wanted to ask you this again. If his goal is to win a championship, which it is, you're talking about taking over a team that a year ago was in the Western Conference Finals, that is on paper one of the more talented teams in the league, that has not really played up to their potential. What do the Lakers need to do to put themselves in a situation? Because at the very least, you're going to come into the season with a superior coach than you had the previous season. Now, what do they need to do around that? Like again, they can't do anything big. I don't think they're going to go for a big home run, quote-unquote, trade to get a star. But what can this team do? Again, look back to a year ago where the Dallas Mavericks were, how they were tanking to get a draft pick, and now they're in the NBA Finals. How far are the Lakers from being back in the NBA Finals?
Well, if they get Dan Hurley as a coach or someone actually competent, not too far off. I mean, the West is always pretty wide open as long as LeBron and AD are healthy. They're a duo no one wants to face. They were ahead most of the Nuggets series, right? Like, they just had bad coaching, bad execution. I think what they're going to do is something that people aren't expecting them to. I think people are expecting them to star hunt. I don't think they're going to do that. I think, like I mentioned, they're going to do everything in their power to keep Rui, to keep most of their core. I think a guy that is a name that I would look toward is Gary Trent Jr. Now, I don't know how available he is on the Raptors, but this is a guy who's a career 37-38% three-point shooter, really excels on the perimeter end defensively, I think would fit the culture because they're going to need to play defense to win championships. You just have to nowadays. The Mavericks have had the best defensive rating in basketball since they traded for Gafford and Lively, and the Celtics had the second defensive rating in all of basketball behind Minnesota all year if we're looking at a whole season. And those were three out of the four teams left in the playoffs. Now, you have to win. You're never going to outscore teams like
you know, just name Pacers. You got to play defense, right? So I think Gary Trent's an option where a guy who can knock down shots, create his own shot, and shoot, you know, and play defense is a guy I would look at. Alex Caruso is another guy, but the price is going up for him. They had him. They let him go. They fumbled that. KCP is another guy that, you know, wants a big contract. Malik Monk, they don't have enough money for, but perhaps, you know, D'Angelo Russell could opt in and create more room for them to do a sign and trade, although I doubt it. I think at this point D'Angelo is going to opt out, and I don't see him back with the Lakers, even though I think, you know, if it comes to that, that's last destination, they will re-sign him because they'd have no other options, right? So I think they're going to build around the edges, and I think that's something that true Laker fans, like people that really know what it takes to win, that people that know basketball, understand that that's needed to win championships. Donovan Mitchell is great, right? Trae Young's great. Trae Young, Anthony Davis, and LeBron and a bunch of bums are not going to win you a championship. Like, we saw that with Phoenix. And Bradley Beal is deteriorating already in his career. He really had one great year, and it was with Russell Westbrook when he was playing fantastic, right? So that was always a bad trade. But big threes don't work anymore. It's always big twos and a great roster. Like, guys, like, look at the Mavericks, PJ Washington, Derrick Jones Jr., guys that have moxie, that hit threes, play defense. That's important. The Lakers are not far away from doing that. And who's to say LeBron can't be the same player at 40 next year? Like, you know, like, he's defying odds.
Yeah. I mean, the talent's there. I think the most frustrating thing is to see how healthy the big two have been. You know, LeBron and AD have been healthy. And despite the fact that they've been on the court and they've played extremely well, that they've not won, or they've been in this situation where they're vying for a play-in spot, or they're getting bounced in the first round. Jake, I mean, how much does Dan Hurley change your thoughts on this team if they bring back, for the most part, the same players? And again, you're talking about a team that was bounced in the first round, but got to the conference finals a year ago. Just the coach. And again, I think we're kind of all on the same page of saying, I think him's a good guy, good assistant coach, maybe a good head coach somewhere else, but just was not a great head coach for this team. How much does Dan Hurley change the way you think about this team?
Not a ton. I think the holes are still the same, and I think the things I need to address are still the same, regardless of who's calling the shots. I think Brandon's right. I think star hunting is not the route they should take. I don't think the big three works. I think you need to bring in a more serviceable backup five. The Jackson Hayes minutes in the playoffs were very hard to watch. You bring in better shooters around LeBron, or at least you try to. And I do think they're going to bring in some sort of veteran ball handler that can kind of call the shots when LeBron's sitting and it's not up to D'Angelo Russell. It could be a Kyle Lowry-esque guy. I mean, I don't want to bring up Chris Paul, but it could be a guy like Chris Paul, backup point guard, veteran, kind of handle the load a little bit. But I don't necessarily think that Danny Hurley coming in opposed to a guy like J.J. Redick really changes the things they need to do. I think the guys on the floor, those issues still need to be addressed one way or another.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, just having a coach like that on the sideline, and G.A. brought up a good point when we were chatting before, is that he does a great job of bringing in great assistant coaches. And, you know, you look at a guy like Luke Murray, Bill Murray's son, a guy who, by the way, if Dan Hurley gets the job, you would have to imagine he'd be one of the favorites to take over as the next head coach at UConn. He surrounds himself with really good assistant coaches, has an amazing track record of success wherever he's gone. But at the very least, the Lakers never disappoint when it comes to it being a soap opera, when it comes to news in the offseason, when it comes to news going into game one of the NBA finals, the Lakers to dominate the headlines. And I think we were all surprised when we woke up Thursday to the news that the Lakers have targeted Dan Hurley to be their next head coach. Whether or not that happens, we'll see. But they've really put all their chips at the center of the table. And it would be a huge disappointment at this point if they don't get their guy, Dan Hurley, to be the next head coach. We'll be talking about this as we move forward this week. All right, that's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears, We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.